Last week, we started a two-part series. It was titled, Get Ready. And we want to get ready for going down to the fairgrounds. There takes some mental and spiritual preparation before we get down there. We want to be ready. When the people of Israel, when they crossed over the Jordan, the instruction from God was to get ready. There's preparation involved. I want you to know we have a team of people, the Pancake Tent team, that have been hard at it for months. Things are kind of getting a little bit more accelerated now, and other people are getting involved. But we want to live a mission-driven life down at the fairground. Last week, quick review. To be mission-driven in life means this. Number one, it's who I am. I have an aroma. You have an aroma about your life. In other words, when Jesus lives inside of us, we better be giving off some good scents. And so we have an aroma factor, Paul says. Number two, it's what I do. It's the deeds. I hope this week you look for opportunities to do a good deed for somebody else. Be proactive. Make it a lifestyle. Number three, it's what I say, your words. Your words that you speak can be like apples of gold in a silver platter. That's how it was described in the Old Testament. Your words are a big deal. Have a filter of what comes out of your mouth. Only use words that lift people up. So part of being a mission-driven life is, we got to have an aroma. We got to have good deeds and good words. That makes our life count. Now, the secret of the whole thing, next slide, is this. Spend time in the upper room, that's in God's presence, before going to the lower room. That's at the Pancake Tent. That's where we live life. I hope you have a daily rhythm of some kind where you go to the upper room and you spend time absorbing God's grace and his goodness before you go and live out the rest of your day in the lower room, because that's where we find the experience of living a mission-driven life. All right. Here's the big idea of today's message. Above all else, this is what Harper read, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. I want to talk to us today about guarding your heart. Now, the word guard means this. It means to watch over. It means to be vigilant, to protect, to patrol. God wants us to patrol our own heart. You know, there's a reason for that. Because the heart is the cockpit of our life. All the decisions, the issues of life come from the heart. And the Proverbs writer says this, guard your heart. Because that is the wellspring of life. That's where you're going to either sink or swim. You're going to do well or do poorly, depending on what's going on in the heart. Now, in John chapter 7, these are some of the words of Jesus. It's printed in your notes. Let's read it together. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." Now, Jesus gives an invitation. He says, if anybody is thirsty, they can drink when they come to him. What does that mean? That when we have a personal relationship with him, here's what happens. Rivers of living water flow out of us from our hearts. It's Christ's presence in us. And so when we think about living water, here's what it means. It means an aliveness to life. You may be here today, and you don't feel alive to life at all. We all hit those seasons. Life is cold. It's hard. It's stressful. I'm frustrated. And yet Jesus said, rivers of aliveness, living water can flow from our hearts. Now, here's why the heart is so important. Jesus said, it's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know what that means? You know what comes out of your mouth? It's not a mouth issue. It's a heart issue. The two are connected. It's only about 12 inches. But the mouth reflects what's in the heart. And if the heart is bad, spiritually speaking, the stuff that comes out of our mouth is going to be bad. And so Jesus says, listen, understand, I want you to have rivers of aliveness flowing out of your life. So as we think about the pancake tent, I learned something years back that two things can happen. I'll have Jeannie put this slide up. People will offend me, and I will offend people. Now, let me just say, when we get down to the fairgrounds, it's a pretty intense 10, 12 days. I mean, things are happening. We get tired. We work hard. People are trying to do extra work to make it happen. And I say, we have an amazing group of people, a congregation. You guys are great. But let me tell you, I can offend somebody by what I say if I'm pushing hard. And you know what? They can offend me. And so today I want to talk about how we guard our hearts. Now, these principles apply to everyday living, not just the fairground. So I want you to know that this stuff applies every day, all right? But especially at the fairgrounds. So as we think about, the words guard your heart, I want to talk about the offendedness factor. Three thoughts. Number one, offendedness trips a circuit breaker in me. I want you to look at the two window air units on this side of the church. We learned years back that if both of those units are plugged into the same circuit on that side of the building, we will trip a breaker. It's too much juice for one circuit. And when a circuit breaker trips, the power goes out. We get that, right? Do you realize when you have a circuit breaker experience with a friend or a family member, the power goes out? Jesus put it this way. It's Matthew 24:10 in your notes. Let's read it. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Jesus said in the last days, it's going to be tough. We live in a pretty rough world, don't we? And here's what happens. We can offend people or they can offend us. And Jesus said, many people, bless you. Let's all say it together. Bless you. Man, she ought to be good now. Where was I? Offended. Thank you. Jesus said, the offendedness factor is going to happen in life. Now, I want us to understand, when somebody offends us, me, or I offend somebody else, here's what happens. The circuit breaker in my relationship can pop. It trips. We get that. You go to the panel box in the boiler room, the breaker is off. Now, I got a few quotes I got to share. Here's the first one. I just had to put this one in. I would like to apologize to anyone I have not offended. Please be patient. I will get to you shortly. That's like a pastor's quote. I mean, I can do it regularly without even trying. I do. So please forgive me. But the point is this. Guard your hearts. You know why? That's where offendedness can shut down the power called the rivers of living water, which is an aliveness to life that flow through me. All right. Here's another quote. Blessed is he or she who avoids being offended. Now, our former conference superintendent, Dave Harvey, loved the guy. He was a great leader. Over 20 years as our superintendent. He said he worked hard to get to a place in his life where he would not ever get offended. I mean, people are just talking, coming at different angles to him. He's a leader, and you hear all kinds of things. But he worked hard at never to get offended. You know what that means? He had developed something that would prevent the circuit breakers from popping, from tripping. Now, I got a question for you. One being low, 10 being high, how much does it take to get you offended? Think about it. Are you a 2 or 3? Are you in the middle? Or, you know, you can deal with a lot of stuff. 8 or 9. Some people are like that. They're amazing. But blessed is he or she who guards their heart so that they are not offended when something is said or done to them. Let me tell you, that is an amazing posture inside to say, wait a minute, it's going to take me a lot to get offended. I was up at the jail Friday, and I was sharing some of these thoughts with the folks there, and I said, what happens when the circuit breaker pops, when it trips? And a couple people said, the power goes out. So here's a quote. It's so true that the power goes out when we somehow, you can put that up, Jeannie. When, there we go. The circuit breaker trips in a relationship, the power goes out. And so understand it's going to happen. The question is, then, what do we do with it? Which leads to point number 2. All right, point 2, backside of the sermon listening guide. Here it is. How I handle the offense determines whether I reset the circuit breaker. A circuit breaker will remain off until somebody goes to the panel and flips it to an on position so it can restart. If you and I understand, you and I are in charge of resetting circuit breakers that have popped. We have a choice to make. Some circuit breaker situations are harder than others. I will not minimize when there's someone in our lives that either abused us or took advantage of us that maybe going forward we shouldn't be a part of their life. I'm talking about people, life in general, the daily wear and tear of family and friends we work with. I'm talking about that kind of an experience. And the question is, how and when do I reset the breaker? You know why? Because the power is out. So in your notes, read with me 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. Circle the word love. Here's what it means. It means benevolence or goodwill. If there's any people in this congregation that understand this verse, it's parents or grandparents. Let me explain why. Parents absorb a lot of stuff from their kids through the years. Is there an amen out there? Love covers over a multitude of stuff. What does that mean? As a parent, you absorb a lot of stuff and swallow a lot of stuff just because you have love for the kid that's in your home. You want to maintain and protect the relationship. And when they come home and they're whiny and their attitude or their mouth is bad, I tell you, parents absorb a lot of stuff, do they not? Now listen, the reason they do that is because they love their kid and they want to keep their relationship. Sometimes it's pretty tough stuff. All right, let's read the next set of verses, the next verse. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Jesus said this, the word love, it's an agape love. It's God-given. And what it does, it swallows offenses. It doesn't mean you don't learn from them and there's not a teaching moment on the other end, but love is a distinctive trait in the life of a believer. And as Christians, we should be better at dealing with offenses than people of the world. You know why? We have agape love flowing through us. And Jesus said, hey, I have forgiven you. I want you to keep your relationships intact, and it's going to require resetting circuit breakers that have popped. I was talking with someone this past week, and I asked how his son was. And the son lives within an hour distance from Walton. And he said, well, I don't know. He says, it's been about 3 years. I didn't probe, I didn't ask any further questions, but I thought something must have happened that for 3 years, a father and a son that live within an hour of each other, maybe they haven't spoken, I don't know, or they haven't connected, a circuit breaker got popped. Nobody has reset it. And you know what that means? The power's out. It's dead. And Jesus said, I want you to know something. People are going to know that you are my disciples because you tend to resetting circuit breakers. You are attentive to that. You're responsible. You take initiative to say, wait a minute, I can't let this go on. I need to love and forgive and move forward. Read with the Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Circle the word forgiving. I love this. Here's what it means. It's to freely extend pardon or rescue. You and I need to freely extend pardon and rescue to other people when the circuit breaker has tripped. It may take some work, may take some time, but go after it. The word forgive, as God forgave you, it means favor that cancels. I found that when there's an issue of offendedness, whether it's at the fairgrounds or anywhere else, it's usually not just one person totally. It's usually a little bit of both people. Not always, but usually both people are involved. Own your part of it. If an apology is in order, do it. And you may or may not get it from the other person, but listen, own it and say, you know what? I'm a disciple of Jesus. I'm going to tend to my relationships because love covers a multitude of sins. In your notes, a couple of quotes, they're not on the screen. Here it is. When you nurse a grudge, you'll lose a friend. This father's son that I was talking to, I don't know, there's a disconnect. They've lost the connection. Here's the second one. When you choose to forgive, you win back a relationship. In other words, if you and I just embrace it and say, okay, let me evaluate it, let us get back on track. That's huge. You know what you're doing? You are resetting the tripped breaker, circuit breaker in your life. Here's a quote. When you and I value the relationship with the other person more than allowing the enemy to win in destroying a friendship. Let me explain that. I came to realize years back, if somebody has offended me and I'm a little bummed out, I have to sort through it. And here's what I found happens. When I frame it in such a way, the enemy wants to destroy and disconnect me from that person. And when I realize in the big picture, that's his plan and his tactic, it kind of makes me mad. I get a little ticked. I say, wait a minute, I will not allow the enemy to disconnect me from that person because I value the relationship. And it motivates me to somehow figure out how to reset the circuit breaker. Become good at that. Even in a family. Or your close friends, be willing to be the bigger person. You know what the leader does? They go first. Oftentimes, we wait for the other person to take the first move. That sometimes happens. Sometimes it doesn't. But I tell you what, you know who the choicest are of the bunch of the two? The person that takes the first step. Hey, I'm sorry. You make it happen. You're motivated. Why? You value the relationship more than allowing the enemy to destroy your connection with that family member or friend or whoever's you're working with. Guard your heart, because that's where it happens. It flows from the heart, God's aliveness and goodness, and we need to protect it. So number one, offendedness can trip the circuit breaker. Number two, I have to assess, am I willing to reset it? That's a choice. That's a decision that takes effort and initiative. All right. And finally, point number three, real simple outline today. Be a grace giver. As we think about going down to the fairgrounds, I want you to think of your life as a grace dispenser. You're a unit, and you're dispensing grace wherever you go. Read with me Galatians 2:21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if the righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. So the word grace means favor. I don't set aside God's favor and empowerment and goodness. I lean into it. And let's read the next two verses. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Understand that God is the greatest, biggest grace giver ever. Do you see in the second to the last line the word gift circling? He gave to us the gift of grace. You know what that means? He'll forgive us of our sins, our mess ups. And then he says, I want you to be a grace giver to other people. And, you know, when I go to the hospital or into different places, you see these little units on the wall. If you go into a bathroom and you hit it and you can get soap out of it. Or sometimes it's a sanitizer. You hit it and you bump it, and out comes sanitizer, and you wash your hands. I want you to think of your life as one of those things. And when someone bumps into you, I mean, they bump you somehow. Maybe it's like, oh, I can't believe they said that. Be a grace giver. If they bump you, what's going to come out? Grace. You're going to monitor your response. You're going to be careful. Here's a couple quotes as we wrap up. Grace needs to be the air we breathe, the atmosphere we live in, whether in church or in the home. Be a grace giver. And here's another one. I give grace because I so desperately need it. All right, I have one slide left. We'll just wait on it a minute. I just want to say, as we think about going to the pancake tent this week, 12-day missions trip. Live a mission-driven life down there. It's my aroma. It's my attitude. It's what the deeds I do for others. It's the words I say. Make it a time that counts. But guard your heart throughout the entire time down there, because chances are you're going to pop a circuit breaker. Be willing to reset it. Why? Through grace, God forgave me. Work through it. Don't leave the power off. And here's the final slide. All right, that's it. Be kind and give grace. If somebody bumps into you and it's an offendedness issue, let grace come out. Let's pray together. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's just surrender ourselves to God. Say, Lord, here's my life. And I don't know where you're at in your spiritual journey, but I'm going to lead us in a prayer. You can pray it silently after me. Father in heaven, thank you that you love me. Thank you that Jesus is willing to forgive me of all my sins. I confess I need you. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ into my life. Or I recommit my life to Him. Make me a grace dispenser going forward. Help me to reset all of the circuit breakers that are popped in my life. And help me to guard my heart from this moment forward. In Jesus' name, amen.